There, we're going to be reading verses 36 through 43 this morning. Our text verse will be verse number 39, Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read verses 36 through 43 responsively. I'll read, then you read. Verse 36 through 43 of Matthew chapter 26. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I said I'll read, then I'll help you kind of respond to reading here in verse number 37. I'll read, then so forth. Verse number 39 will be our text this morning. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to be with this service. I pray, God, you be with this message. I pray, God, that you'd be with thy servant. Fill me, Lord, and give me clarity this morning. I pray, God, that you'd open every heart, and may we walk out of here closer to you than when we came this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I appreciate on the title, The Most Difficult Prayer of All. Let me just stop and say this. Prayer is essential to Christian growth. Probably close with that statement, perhaps, but prayer is essential to Christian growth. All of us, all Christians, need to pray. Jesus, in our text here, in our scripture we read, Jesus and his disciples had come to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus had told his disciples to sit ye here while I go yonder to pray. And from that particular point, he took three more of his disciples and went, left that particular spot. And from that particular spot, he took with him Peter, James, and John. And as he went yonder into the garden, he was beginning to be sorrowful, the Bible says. That word sorrowful means excessive grief. And very, very heavy. That word heavy there in the scripture means under great distress. And he tells his three disciples that were with him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And this phrase here means that Jesus was under such a heavy burden. Now picture yourself here. I'm sure that we all can say this from time to time and be under a heavy burden. But Jesus was under such a heavy burden and in such brokenness of heart that it literally was about to take his own life. You know, Jesus approaches God, his Father, with his burden, just like we ought to. I said the first thing, first statement I said this morning, it is essential for Christians to pray. We are to communicate with God. But Jesus approaches God, his Father, with his burden here in this place called Gethsemane, meaning an olive press. And that's the place where olives were squeezed under great pressure so they may yield up their oil. And here Jesus is releasing. Now, he's under a lot of stress. He's under a lot of burden here. He's under excessive grief. He's very, very heavily burdened. And here Jesus, he's releasing, ultimately, the oil of sweet surrender as he yields to the Father's pressure in his soul. You know, we all need to surrender to the will of God. We're going to walk into that a little bit more along the way, but God has a will for us, and we need to surrender our will to him. And this is what happened here at Gethsemane. This is a picture of Jesus, literally, not as I will, but as thou wilt, he said. This is a picture of Jesus sweetly surrendering his will to the Father's will. It may be that God is dealing with some sin in your life this morning, and he wants you to surrender. It may be that you have some pressure right now in your soul and you wonder, how can I go ahead and let it go? Hey, you know what? Surrender it to God. Hey, you know, he knows what it is. He understands what you're going through. Hey, Jesus, you know what? None of us have gone ahead and gone through what Jesus is going through here. Yes, we have our burdens, but let me tell you something. Jesus, you know what? The thought, in just a little while, he's going to be facing the cross. And the thought, just after a little while, he was going to go ahead and die for the sins of all mankind. Hey, you know, he was under a lot of grief. He was under a lot of distress. He was very heavily burdened. It may be that God is dealing with some sin in your life and he wants you to surrender it. It may be that you have turmoil in your life, which God has brought you to a point of frustration. And he says, why don't you just yield it to me? Why don't you just go ahead and give it to me? It may be that there's sin that you're playing with in your life that has led you to turmoil. Hey, why don't you just go ahead, if you will, and hand it over and yield and surrender to God? It doesn't matter what it is that you're going through. You need to yield to the Father. Find your Gethsemane and pray as Jesus did. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. I know the pressure that you have may not be the same as Jesus, but you do. If you do have pressure, hey, we need to give it over in prayer. Hey, I say it again. Prayer is essential to Christian growth. Jesus wants you to take your burden and leave it with him. God wants you just to go ahead and just give it over to him. He understands what you're going through. It may be someone here, you're out of the will of God. Let me tell you something. You step out of the will of God, that brings pressure. And by the way, it brings unnecessary pressure. Okay, we don't have to stand out of the will of God this morning. Hey, you know what? We can stand and we can align ourselves with the will of God. Hey, you know what? What's the will of God? For instance, number one, he's not willing that any should perish, okay? So the will of God, obviously, is for if you're lost this morning, get saved. And then after that, you ought to get baptized. The Bible says after you get saved, once you get saved, you need to go ahead and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Acts 2:41, and when they gladly received his word, this is the day of Pentecost, they were baptized. It comes after salvation. Hey, what is the will of God? So to get saved is the will of God, to get baptized is the will of God, to get discipled is the will of God, and to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that is the will of God. He doesn't want us just to die on the vine. He doesn't want us to wither away. He wants us to become producers. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to grow in the Christian life. Hey, you know what? But it may be that you're out of the will of God this morning, and you know what? That will bring unnecessary pressure. That will bring some distress in your life. That will bring some heartache in your life. Hey, I plead with you, if you're out of the will of God, maybe concerning salvation, you may be sitting here, you don't know for sure you're saved, I plead with you, get in line with God and be saved this morning. You don't have to leave Faith Baptist Church this morning not saved. You can have the true joy that salvation brings. I plead with you, get saved this morning. But you know what? And maybe you are saved this morning, and maybe you have taken that first step of obedience, and you got baptized, and maybe you have gone ahead and grown some, but somewhere along the way you got disenchanted. Somewhere along the way you got discouraged. Somewhere along the way maybe some sin entered into your life, which brought some turmoil and frustration, and you wonder, I just can't get through it. Hey, listen to me. Hey, being out of the will of God brings unnecessary and undue frustration. Hey, just get back in the will. It may be that your soul is heavy because you don't know Christ. He's been working on you for some time to get saved, but you keep on pushing him away. Hey, it's the Father's will for you to get saved this morning. In these verses, we see Jesus praying a rather difficult prayer. I think of it as a rather difficult prayer for us, all of us, to pray. Jesus prays a prayer of total submission and surrender to the will of his Father. Just as this prayer was difficult for Jesus, it is hard for us to pray. In any given situation, we know what we want God to do. And so we tell him, God, please do this, please do this, please do this, and we expect him to do it. Hey, this may be a shock to you, but you will find out that prayer doesn't work exactly quite that way. For us to go ahead and give our demands and say, God, I want this, I want this, I want this. Hey, God, I expect you. Hey, you know, it doesn't quite work that way. You know, genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our own way with God. It's always about God getting his way with you. Let me say that again. Very important statement. You know what? If we're going to be prayer warriors, if we're going to go ahead and pray the way Jesus teaches us to even pray right here, if we're going to be able to be the kind of prayer warrior God wants us to be, genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way with God, but it's always about God getting his way with you. You know, God wants you. God wants you fully. He doesn't want you to go ahead and push him away. He wants you fully to go ahead and submit and surrender your will to him. That's what Jesus had to do here. I want you to notice some truths here this morning as we analyze verse number 26, chapter number 26, verse 39. And he went a little further. He left his disciples there outside the garden. The Bible says in verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You know, and this is another whole sermon, but I got thinking about it. You know, the darkest hour of our Savior's life, this is just a side thought here, but the darkest hour of our Savior's life, Peter, James, and John could not even stay awake for the Savior. Jesus says, tarry ye here and watch with me while I go in and pray. He says, watch with me. Tarry ye here and watch with me. But they couldn't even stay awake, the Bible says. They couldn't even stay awake for the Savior's darkest moment. That's another whole thought. But the truth of the matter is in verse number 39, and he went. Jesus left these disciples. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Hey, we find in this prayer this morning, as he went a little bit further, we find in this prayer this morning, this prayer involved total supplication. Jesus was earnestly and humbly praying before his Father. He prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh, notice that little word, oh. That word, oh, is a word for deep anguish. That word, oh, often is reserved for a prayer such as this. I'm talking about heavy, burdened prayer. Jesus was burdened, and, oh, you know how it is. I know in my season of prayer from time, and when I hurt, and when I hurt for people, I'll come to God and say, oh, God, please supply. Oh, God, please supply that for that family. Oh, God. Hey, normally that word, oh, means a prayer of deep anguish, a prayer of deep concern, a prayer of burdened prayer. He asked, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup refers to the sins, if you will, of humanity that he was about to bear on the cross and the separation that it would bring he and his Father. This really bothered Christ. That cup represents the humanity of sin that he was, all the sins of humanity that he was going to bear on the cross in just a little while. And he was so heavy by this. And the very fact that he was going to be separated from his Father God for just a little while, it bothered him. Hey, the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, I'll read, but you can jot these down and read them later. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what? Sin can cause a big separation in your life from God to a point where you feel like, God, where are you? God, where are you? God, I feel like I'm in this dark tunnel all by myself. And the truth of the matter is it's sin that went ahead and caused separation of us, if you will. I know about even good Christian people. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we step out of the will of God and there's sin upon our life and we step out of his will and we wonder, God, where are you? Why? Because the sins that we've committed, the iniquities that we've committed have separated us from God. Hey, let me tell you something. That's a very unsafe place to be. That's a very unsafe place to be. But God, our Lord Jesus here also, yeah, you know, he was going to be bearing all the sins of humanity and he was going to be separated for just a little while from his Father. You'll see this also in Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus, of course, was hanging on the cross here. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was hanging on that cross, and at that particular time, God, I believe, had to turn his back on his very own Son for just a little while. Why? Because God, who's perfect, could not look upon imperfection. And Jesus, at that time, he was bearing all the sins of humanity, all the sins that you've committed. He was bearing it on that cross. And at that point, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can imagine the lonely feeling. I can imagine the feeling at that moment. And God, the Father, who, yes, loved his Son so much, but had to turn his back on his very own Son. And Jesus was separated for a time from his Father. God was going to have to turn his back. And the thought of being separated from his Father for even a second broke his heart. And the thought of becoming sin for all the world was filthy and repugnant to a sinless spirit. This was a big burden. Let me stop and say this. You know what? Sin ought to be a burden in our life. You know, if we're playing around with sin and we're saved, you know what? The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We can play around with it, Christian. We can go ahead and live in it. But after a while, it's going to catch up to you. Sin, if we want, you know, of course, sin will separate us from God, so to speak, separate us from the blessings of God. No, you cannot lose your salvation. Don't misunderstand me. Once you're saved, then I thank God that salvation is a gift. And he, once you're saved, you're in the palm of his hand, and nobody can pluck you out of his hand. But the truth of the matter is, there can be Christians outside of the will of God, outside playing around in sin. And let me tell you something, my friend, we don't always like it, but it's Bible and it's true. Sin, when it is finished, it always brings forth death. And let me tell you something, we let that sin in our life, even as a Christian. You know what? When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. You know, and there's many ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's a communicator. He's also a convictor. And you know what? I thank God that the Holy Spirit, you know, I acknowledge the Holy Spirit that if I do slip up, if I do make a mistake, you know what? The Holy Spirit kind of knocks on my heart, you know? He says, Sean, you shouldn't have did that. I'll let him call me Sean. But you know, Sean, you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have gone ahead and said that, maybe. You shouldn't have gone ahead and thought that. You shouldn't have gone ahead and done that. And you know, immediately, I get on my knees and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Hey, that's the walk of the Christian. That's what we ought to do when we're playing around with sin. We need to immediately allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict us. And we fall on our face to God and say, oh my Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of what I thought. Forgive me of the thought that I thought about that person. Hey, you know, sin can bring a big burden. And of course, Jesus, who knew no sin, but he was going to be bearing all the sin of humanity on that cross. And for the split moment, for just a second, you know, his heart, I know, was broken because his very own father had to turn his back on his own son. So we find Jesus asking to have this cup pass from him because he could not stand being away from the Father for a single moment. You know, let me ask you a question. We ought to feel the same way. You know, it ought to bother us that we're out of communication with God. You know, God longs to be with you. He longs to walk with you. He longs to talk with you. I like the song in the garden, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know what? That's that famous old hymn. It's about that sweet fellowship with God. You know what? God, he longs to have sweet fellowship with you. But unfortunately, unconfessed sin can sometimes be that roadblock. We're not willing to give it up. We're not willing to give up this, and we're not willing to give up that, and we're not willing to give up our friends, and we're not willing to do this, or whatever the case may be. And it becomes a roadblock, if you will. And we sit here, we wonder, why don't I get the blessings? Why can't I have the true joy and unspeakable and full of glory? Why can't I have this? Why can't I? It could be because, and I don't know. I don't know. I'm your preacher, and I love you, and I'm preaching to you out of love this morning, but I don't go around with a piece of paper and a pen finding out your sins. You know what? But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God knows, and he might be knocking on your door right now this morning. He might be saying, hey, you know what? Hey, sir. Hey, ma'am. Hey, teenager. Hey, child. You know, there's some things you need to deal with. You know, there's a certain separation for it there. Yes, you've been saved, but you know what? You've backslid. You've drawn away from me, and he longs to restore that fellowship, but there's something. There's something right there that's roadblocked. And only you may know what it is. You and God know what it is. I think the reason why we have burdens is for us to be drawn closer to God. Boy, we ought to use the burdens that we bear to go ahead and draw us closer instead of draw us away. But use the burdens, the heartache that you bear. You know what? At this particular time, you know what? There was a sweet time. Even though Jesus was under a heavy amount of pressure. He was under a big, heavy burden here. But you know what? He took his burden, and he used his burden to go ahead and draw closer to his Father. You know, of course, Jesus was sinless, and of course, he was fulfilling the purpose that God made him for. But you know, you won't find here, of course, and if Jesus did this, of course, the plan of God would have been ruined. But you don't find Jesus, this isn't fair. Why do I have to go to the cross? Why do I have to do this? Kind of like our children do to us once in a while. Say, go clean it. Why do I have to clean up my room? Why do I have to go wash the car? Why do I have to mow the lawn? And the truth of the matter is, you don't find Jesus doing that at all. You don't find Jesus saying, you know what, God, why? Why do I have to do this? No, you find Jesus saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Even we Christians can have a feeling of separation due to our lack of talking with him, due to our lack of walking with him. It's amazing, and also due to our lack of sin, as I pointed out. But it's amazing, even some of the finest Christians, it's so easy. We come to church, we're in our, we're in the rut, if you will. I don't think that's the right word, but we are, we know what we're supposed to do and we do it. We get up Sunday morning, we go to church, maybe go to Sunday school, go to church Sunday morning, go to church Sunday night, we go to church Wednesday night. We may attempt to go ahead and pass out some tracts and tell others, but the truth of the matter is even some of the finest Christians I find get in this same rut. When things are going good, when the bills are paid, when the health is good, when everything's all taken care of and things are going pretty good, even the finest, if you will, if you want to call it that, we have a tendency to opt out of praying. I've seen it. We have a tendency to go ahead and step back a little bit. Even when the blessings are there, even when things are going good, we need to guard our heart. We need to be very careful of that. I'm talking about those who have been saved for years. Sometimes it can be so easy from time to time that we kind of step out a little bit, step out of the rut. Yeah, maybe we once walked with God, we talked with him, and we know what we're supposed to do. So just by nature, if you will, we're in our place every single Sunday. We're doing what we're supposed to do. But if we're not careful, we have a tendency to even step out, and we fail to walk with God. We fail to pray. We fail to communicate with God. Oh, let me say this morning, Christian. Let me say this morning, Christian. You know what? Don't get in that position where, yes, maybe things are good, but You need God just as much today as you do when you hit that valley. You need to go ahead and pray and talk to God just as much today when your bills are paid, when your health is good, just as much as you need him tomorrow. Hey, you know what? It's so easy when the troubles come. Oh, God, I need you. Truth of the matter is, we needed him before. We needed him even when things were going good. And somewhere along the way, if we're not careful, and I've seen even the finest Christians, good people, and they wouldn't skip church for nothing. But the truth of the matter is that sweetness and that really strong fellowship that you once had, by nature, you're going to have, Pastor, I'll be in my place in church. I'll be in my place in my ministry. I'll be in my place. But somewhere along the way, even our prayer life has ceased. Our prayer life perhaps has cut back a little bit, or our walk with God, our Bible reading maybe has been withdrawn a little bit, simply because things are all pretty good. It is so easy. It is by nature. It's so easy when things are good. We don't really need God every day. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm thinking, boy, it's amazing how America before 9/11 didn't seem to need God. Boy, when 9/11, when the plane crashed in them buildings and crashed there in Pennsylvania, all of a sudden, God, we need you. Amen. Amen. It seems like all over the place, even your local bars. Now, I didn't attend it, but you drive down in the windows, okay? Just wanted to clarify that a little bit. But in the windows, you'd see, I've seen them. God bless America. Even in some of the places that you wouldn't think, God bless America. They'd have their prayer vigils. They'd go to the Capitol steps of the United States and pray and sing God bless America. Hey, you know what? When the nation was in turmoil, when the nation was in trouble, so to speak, all of a sudden we needed God. But days before 9/11, we didn't need him. Days before 9/11, things were pretty good. The economy perhaps was pretty good. Everything was wonderful. But boy, 9/11 came. 3,000 people died. Hey, God, we need you. Hey, the truth of the matter is we needed him before. We needed him, of course, then. Guess what? Unfortunately, today, where is he now? He's been on a shelf again. And then the next terrorist attack, Lord willing, it won't happen, but the next terrorist attack, and who knows what will happen. Hey, God! Hey, don't forget us. We need you. The truth of the matter is we need him every day. And you know, let me just stop and say this. You know what? Because of the degradation of our society, and I'm not going to go ahead and hit much this morning, but because of the degradation and because of the sin of our society, and it's waxing worse. It doesn't take much to figure it out. But you know what? You can go ahead and compare 9/11 today. You know what? We're just in much turmoil today. We're in just as much turmoil when you think about it. You know what? Just like we needed God then and during 9/11, you know what? We're still in a rut today. Sin is devastating our world. It's all about us. And it's no wonder, you know, it's no wonder why Christians may backslide and fall, because it is all around us. But the truth of the matter is, hey, the key to essential Christian growth and a strength is you and I. Hey, we need to go ahead and seek God's face. We need to go ahead and pray to him every day. We need to go ahead and read his word every day. Hey, oh, for us to be burdened about us being separated from the Father. You know, if you're saved, you can't be separated, of course, eternally. But unfortunately, the lost will even be separated for eternity if he does not receive Christ. Even the Christians can have a feeling of separation. We talked about that. We often think that we can bear some of our burdens by ourselves. But what happens is if we don't yield ourselves to God and give our burdens to God, you know what? It builds up and it becomes so heavy that we actually fall under the pressure. You know, we need to give whatever it takes. We need to give it all to God. You ought to give your marriage to God. You ought to give a troubled marriage, if that's what it is, to God. You know, he'll be able to bear your burden. He'll be able to help you. You ought to cry out to God and say, oh, God, my marriage is maybe in trouble. Oh, God, oh, my Father, please help me. Please help me lead this marriage. Please mend our marriage. I don't want turmoil in my marriage. Hey, we ought to give that heartache, whatever it may be, to God. We ought to give that job. Maybe there's a potential, there's some wavering in the job. You don't know. It's uneasy. You don't know if you'll be laid off from one day to the next. Hey, get on your face. Say, oh, God, please be with my job. I can't be without it. Hey, you know what? God might be. Maybe some of the turmoil you're going through might be that God is just here listening, trying to listen to me and say, and pleading with you to cry out, oh, my Father. Maybe you need to turn your finances over to God. You may not have enough money, but you ought to cry out to God and say, oh, God, please provide my needs. Please take care of me. Hey, you know what? Cry out to God about your health when you have it. You know, you may have good health now, but you ought to pray and say, Lord, continue to give me good health. Why should we continue to pray for good health? So that we can go ahead and have the strength to serve him tomorrow and have the strength to keep on serving him for the rest of our life. Hey, pray out to God about your health now. Pray out to God about raising your family in such a world as ours now. Ask for wisdom about raising your family. Cry out, oh, my Father. Hey, you know what? Moms and dads, you ought to be burdened for your family. Pray together and say, God, please, please have your hand upon my family. God wants to help you. Pray to him. Prayer is man communicating with God. In prayer, we approach God in word or thought. Prayer is simply is man having a conversation with God. Prayer is approaching and making your requests known to God. We often pray only when we get in trouble. But we ought not be that way. And I talked about that. Prayer gives us an opportunity to talk to God about things that matter in our lives. Say it again. Prayer gives us an opportunity to talk about things that matter in our lives. You know what? This issue that Jesus was praying about, you know what? It mattered to him. Boy, it mattered to him. It was heavy. You know, you can share with God anything. You know, you can go ahead and share with God your fears. You can share with God your problems. You can share with God your struggles and your pains. Anything that troubles you, you know what? God's already to give ear to you. Boy, I'm telling you, that's love when you think about it. You know, some friends may go ahead and turn away. They don't always understand. But you know what? That friend, that's Jesus Christ, that's God the Father. You know what? He knows your fears, and he wants to hear it from you. In prayer, we ought to express our thankfulness to God. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we ought to give thanks for the beautiful creation and give thanks for our salvation. We ought to give thanks for our marriage and give thanks for our children and give thanks for our health and give thanks for another day he gave you. Amen. Give thanks for the Bible. Give thanks for church and your friends and your job. Boy, you ought to give thanks. Boy, there's a whole list of things that you could just write out. Boy, we ought to give thanks. You know what? We ought to give thanks when things are even going bad. You say, what? You know why I say that? Because some friends, they're not able to see you through it. But you know what? Jesus gives you the ability to see you through. And you know what? The bad times have a tendency to bring us closer to Jesus. And you know what? We need that time. You ought to thank God for the things that, for when times do go bad. And ask God when you are in the valley, say, okay, Lord, allow this heartache to be an opportunity to serve you and to be a testimony for you and to pass on some good encouragement to someone else who may go through it. Hey, you know what? The Bible says everything. Give thanks for all things unto God. Most of our time, our prayer is life is about asking for God for things that we have need of. And that's what prayer is all about. The Bible says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Supplication. That equals your burdens, your needs, and your problems. You know what? Whatever burden, your need, and your problem is this morning, you know, God wants to hear it. Why don't you just come and tell him? Your requests are specific issues and thanksgiving. Hey, we shouldn't hesitate to ask and talk to the Lord. Hey, you know what? Prayer is essential for Christian growth. Prayer will help you see you through it. Prayer is a privilege that God gives, God's people can enjoy. You know, it excites me that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I have a direct line to God anytime. God's not asleep. God's not forgetting about me. You know what? 24 hours a day. You know what? That ought to excite you too. You know what? Other people may go ahead and fall asleep when you're trying to tell them your burdens, but the truth of the matter is God will never fall asleep. He knows your need, and it's a good opportunity to go ahead and talk to him. Hey, prayer is a privilege that we enjoy. God invites you to pray. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. God promises to hear our prayers. Psalm 10:17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God promises to answer prayers. In Isaiah 58:9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Hey, you know what? He's not asleep at the wheel this morning. He's available to you every single day, every single moment, every single trial, every single heartache, every single bump in the road. You know what? Jesus, God says, here I am. But you know what? We just need to cry out to him. Hey, you know what? You'll also find this prayer, it involves surrender. Jesus prayed, not as I will. Verse number 39, not as I will. I am sure that the human, if you will, in Jesus at this time would have liked to avoid the cross. I know I would have. But in all of its pain, he would have liked to have avoided the cross. Lord, if this cup be passed from me, he would have liked to have perhaps avoided the pain and the suffering of death. Surely the eternal Son of Jesus at this time would have preferred to avoid the cross for all its sin that he was going to bear and its separation from the Father. But Jesus here displays a true heart of biblical prayer when he surrenders his will to his Father's and places all at his feet, at the Father's feet. And Jesus was willing to surrender what he wanted for what his Father knew was best. You know what? Father does know best. Jesus knew that, and he was willing to take whatever answer came his way. And he submitted. He went ahead and totally surrendered. And he said, okay, God, not my will. You know, when I was called to preach, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thrilled with the idea. I had a whole nother idea. I had a whole number thought, a whole different thought, if you will. I grew up in a dairy farm. I had the knowledge of farming. I loved working around the farm. I loved everything about the farm. I loved working with the animals, all that stuff. I just really, really enjoyed it. And the truth of the matter is, my plan was to go ahead and take over my dad's farm. I was going to go to an agricultural school for about a year and in Maine, and then I was going to go ahead. My plan, my dad and I had already talked about it. I was going to sit down, and I was going to go ahead and talk, take over. I had talked to my dad. Of course, I've had many years of training from my dad and even my older brothers on how to run the farm and different things, and we had already talked about me, when I graduated, take a little bit of agricultural schooling, taking over the family farm. You know, I wasn't real keen. At 16, God called me to preach. I wasn't real excited at the time. But I knew, boy, when I was sitting there in a missions conference, and I knew God was doing something. I remember coming forward, and my preacher said, "Sean, what's up?" You know, he could see the tears. He says, "Man," I said, "Pastor," I said, "you know, I feel like God's calling me to be a preacher." And he was excited, and of course they told the church, and they were excited and different things. But you know, in my heart, yes, I know my heart at the time was excited, but you know, myself, if you will, I was not overly thrilled, you know, because I really had aim at the farm. I had look, I mean, just a couple years, I was going to graduate, and I really wanted to take over the family farm. I loved that. But you know what, through a whole course of events, I'm not going to take time, but you know what, it took me years, literally. Yes, I did go out to Bible college 1 year after graduation, but I kind of lost sight a little bit, and to make a long story short, it took me really years before I finished the plan that God had for me. And it wasn't until 1994 at a youth conference, I was a chaperone, but it wasn't until 1994 that I had to totally surrender my heart to God. God was knocking on my heart from the very start of that conference right to the very end. And I remember the last invitation, boy, I ran forward, and in prayer I surrendered. Okay, God. I fooled around long enough. I'm sorry. I wasn't in deep sin. I was working. I was a layman in the church, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? The very fact I was out of the will of God, and you know what? God had to bring me to a point of total surrender and prayer. I had to get on my face. And I was weeping, and I was crying. I said, "Okay, God, I'll give my life to you. I'll go home, and I'll burn my bridges, and I'll take care of some things." And within that next year, my wife and I and three little ones were heading out to college. You know what? I had to come to a point. It's not as I will. You know what? God wants to use you, church. God wants to use your marriage. God wants to use you individually. God wants to use you on the job. He wants to use you. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to come to a point of total surrender. Okay, God, it's not my will. It could be we've not seen answered prayers simply because we've not surrendered all. Our desires, as my desire had to be, must be surrendered. Our thoughts must be surrendered. Our will must be surrendered to His ultimate will. What I want should never be the issue, but what God wants should always be the issue. God, do you want me to pray? And He says, "Yes, I want you to pray." Okay, then it should be settled in the Christian life. Hey, God, do you want me to read my Bible? And He responds, "Yes, study to show thyself," and many different scripture verses. Do you want me to read my Bible? Yes. Okay, it should be a done deal, settled. Hey, God, do you want me to attend church? Yes, it should be a done deal. Hey, God, do you want me to give? Yes, it should be a done deal. Hey, God, do you want me to be a good husband or a good wife? Yes, it should be a done deal. Hey, you know what? It's not what I want, but it is what God wants. That should be the issue. Until we get to the point of honestly saying in our prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done," we're not really talking to God. Until we get to that point, we're not really talking to God. We're sharing with Him our opinions and our wants and what we think we need, but we're really not praying. Real prayer is total surrender your will, surrendering your will. Say, "Okay, God, it's not mine. It's not my will." All along, we could be praying, "God, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I want," the whole list. But the truth of the matter is, until we totally surrender, "God, here." That's what real prayer is. It may be simply we're not getting the answered prayers simply because we've not totally surrendered to our Father. Hey, you know, prayer involves supplication. It involves surrender. Giving our will over to God, not as I will but thine. But real quickly, and I'm through, we find that this prayer involves submission. You know, Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done." That's what He prayed. He said, "Thy will be done." Jesus submitted Himself to His Father's answer, even if it was not the answer He wanted. Boy, that's tough. You know, your child comes to you and says, Dad, Mom, can I go ahead and do this, do this, do this? And you know what? And they're hoping, and maybe they're just, hey, can I go ahead and go to the mall? Or can I go this, or go to my friend's house? And for whatever reason, no. Hey, you know, they're expecting, why not? You know, and the child go ahead and fight back. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it could cause some chaos simply because Mom and Dad said no. You know, let me just stop and say this as a side note. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that little word no. There really is. There's a lot of wisdom in that little word no. You know what? Whenever my mom and daddy said no, I didn't always understand it. But the truth of the matter is I knew that that word no, I had to learn in the long run. I learned now, I should say, that little word no came from somebody who could see further ahead than I could. You know what? They saw it. My parents lived for a little while. And when they said, no, you can't do this or you can't go here and different things, you know, and I know at times, it's hard to believe. Preacher, you did this? Yeah, I know at times I'd go ahead and Mama, why can't I go? Why can't I go to my friend's house? You know, no, no, no. In my job, children obey your parents. And I did obey. If I didn't, I knew what was going to happen. But, you know, I learned to obey real quick. And the truth of the matter is, you know, at that little child stage, I didn't understand the word no. Why can't I go ahead and do this was my answer, generally. But the truth of the matter is, I was too young or too naive to understand that that word no was simply coming from somebody who loved me and was protecting me because they saw something down the road. They see down the road, and they might see something, and God put it on their heart and said, you know what, not tonight, son, you can't do this. Whatever reason, but the truth of the matter is there's a lot of wisdom in that little word, no. And God, you may be praying to God, and just as Jesus said, hey, please let this cup pass from me. God, I don't want to be separated from you very long. I don't want to, you know, bear the sins of the whole world. God, this is really, really heavy to me. Hey, if this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but thine be done. And you know what? Jesus surrendered to his Father's will, and whatever the answer was, he was going to go ahead and accept it. He was going to go ahead and accept it. You know, relationships are so much sweeter when the subordinate submits to the authority. You say no to a child, like I said a moment ago, you know, it can cause a little bit of heartache and chaos. It's not fair. You know what? But so much like that in the Christian life. Maybe we pray and say, Lord, I'd like to, could I have this or could I do it? You know, whatever the case may be. And God says, no, not right now. And we sit there and we wonder, well, prayer doesn't work. Yeah, it does. But prayer doesn't work. You know, God won't answer my prayers and so forth. And this is not fair. You know why? Because we're not praying exactly the way we're supposed to pray. We are wanting what we want. We're asking for what we want. We're not willing to totally surrender and submit to whatever the answer may be. Hey, you know what? It might be yes once in a while. Oh, we like them a whole lot better. It might be say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give that to you. You know, you're delighting yourselves in the Lord. You know what? Because you're delighting yourselves in the Lord, you're being faithful. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. He may go ahead and say yes. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes it may be no. A lot of wisdom there, by the way. Sometimes it might be, hey, wait, not right now. I remember when I got my license, another illustration. I'm almost through. I'm landing this thing in just a moment. But the truth of the matter is, I remember I was looking for a truck. Got my license. I was looking for a truck. I saw this nice truck beside the road. I mean, I thought this was it. This was it. I was looking around for a little while. Oh, for a teenager, you know, it's that first one. You know what I mean? It's always the first one. It looks pretty on the outside. And hey, to me, you look, oh, yeah, it looks pretty in the inside. Boom, you know, I wanted this truck. I remember I test drove it a little bit. It was at a used car lot, and they allowed, back then, they used to allow you to test drive. I showed my dad, hey, Dad, can I go? I want to buy this truck. And my dad looked it over, and, you know, I could see. I don't know the way he was kind of. He goes to the hood and says, Shauna, you know, I think you ought to wait. But Dad, look at the paint job. Yeah, by the way, you know what? There is a reason probably there was a paint job, okay? But look at the paint job, Dad. I mean, you know, it's only 25 years old, you know. But you know, son, why don't you wait? And boy, I wanted this truck. Oh, I wanted it. But you know what? And I could, and he would have, you know, I was at a point where I could have made my own decision. But I was wise enough, and I thank God, I was wise enough. Hey, Dad, just look it over. You know what? And he says, I'd wait. And he says, but I'm not going to go ahead and make your decision, but I'm just telling you what I would do. I drove it back, and Should I not? Yeah, I think I'm gonna buy. You know, now, you know, make a long story short, I didn't buy it. Wasn't long, yes, and just a little while, my dad said, "You know, you just wait just a little while. Something right will come along." I said, "Okay, all right." You know, and it's right. It wasn't long. I found myself a truck, 1985. I'm dating myself. 1985, 3/4-ton Dodge pickup. Amen. Anyways, I was proud of that thing. My wife wasn't when she first married me, but she wasn't very excited. But anyways, but you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, I was driving around that truck, and it wasn't long. That truck that I wanted, I saw it in a dooryard. Someone bought it. Went ahead, and the hood was lifted up, and it was sitting there. I didn't know the fellow very well, but he was a local guy, so I knew of him. My dad knew of him, and I said, "I'm going to pull in, and I'm going to ask." And he was a young man, bought it. Said, "Hey, you like this truck?" "No." "Why?" "The engine's blown." And you know what? To make a long story short, I said that two or three times, but I'm almost through with it. But the truth of the matter is, listen, you know, I got thinking, even as a young 16, 17-year-old, wow. You know what? My dad has wisdom. You know, he looked, you know what? That little word no and wait, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, I thank God I submitted to my father's will. Boy, I wanted that truck. Boy, I'll never forget it. But you know what? We say to God, "I want it now. I want it now." And God says no or wait. And we get upset. And unfortunately, this often happens. And this might be where we're at, some of us are at today. Well, God doesn't seem to smile on me, so I'm going to go ahead and just sit here and, oh, I'll be faithful to church once in a while, or I'll do this, but you know, I'm going to have a bad attitude about it. And what happens? We leave the joy and the blessings that God gives, and we sit here and we wonder, you know, so how can so and so be so happy, you know, and so forth? How come, you know? The truth of the matter is, it might be, in all due respect, it might be because their prayer life is supplicating and surrendering, and because whatever it is that they surrender their will to God, and God says, and whatever the answer that God gives them, they accept it. And you know what? I wonder if maybe there's some people here tonight. You know what? You're right on the border. You know what? I don't know if I can go to church anymore. It just seems like, and I've heard it. I've heard it through the years. You know what? I quit church because this doesn't seem like it's fair. It just doesn't seem like that God is smiling down on me. It just doesn't seem like that I'm getting blessed and whatever. Truth of the matter is, we are getting a whole lot more blessed than we think. Okay? You know, it'd be good just to come to church with an open heart and say, "Okay, God, bless me this morning." You know, even your preacher, I say, "God, you bless me. Boy, I want something from your word." But the truth of the matter is, what happens? Why do we maybe become disgruntled or upset or whatever? Simply because it might be our prayer life might be a little bit out of whack. We aren't really requesting what we need, but say, "God, I want this, I want this, I want this." We don't totally surrender our will to God's will and lay our will at His feet. Whatever your will is, God, I'll go ahead and do it. And when God goes ahead when He sees you surrender, then He will go ahead and submit to you. And he may give you a yes or no, but you know what? When you surrender your will, you come to the knowledge of saying, "You know what? Whatever it is you want, God, whatever answer you gave me, I'll go ahead and I'll accept it." That's surrender, and that is submission. Hey, we say, "God, I want it now." When He gives us a different answer, it can cause problems. Why didn't that loved one of mine pull through that disease? Why didn't I get that job? It's just not fair. God, you know I needed it. Why didn't I get that raise? You know I needed it. We shake our fists at God, and what it does is it pushes us away. Our heart gets cold, and then some problems arise. Hey, the key to a happy prayer life, listen, I think is found in that little verse, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." Picture the distress and the grief our Savior was going through. Just a little while, he's going to face that cross for you. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But these words are the hardest words. "Nevertheless, it's not what I will. It's not as I will, but as thou wilt." God, I may go through the ringer. I may have the valleys. I may have the mountaintops. I don't always understand it. But God, No matter where I am, I surrender. I lay my will at your feet. And God, whatever it is that you answer back, I'll go ahead and accept it. It may not always be glamorous. It may not always be wonderful, but God, I surrender. And that's the big key this morning. You know what? Do you need to surrender? Maybe you're a little bit out of sorts, or you're a little bit indifferent towards the preaching and the word of God. And you wonder why. And maybe because you feel like you're getting an unfair deal, you're getting a raw deal. And the truth of it might be simply because your heart's not submitted and surrendered. And whatever God doesn't go ahead and give us, you know what? We want to be spoiled brats. You know, we want to be. And that's, believe me, I've been there. You know, God, I want that. We want to be spoiled. We expect God, because of whatever, we expect God, God, give me this. And when we don't get what we feel we want, we get unhappy. We get disenchanted with the will of God. Jesus, in just a little while, from being in that garden, would be hung on a cross for you. He tells his disciples, hey, watch and pray. And he went a little further and he prayed. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The prayer involves supplication, surrender, and submission. It's pretty tough. It's a pretty difficult prayer. But the truth of the matter is, that's what we need to do. As you cry, are you surrendered to the will of God this morning? Are you totally surrendered to his will this morning? Has he been nudging you on in your heart saying, hey, follow me. Come this way. Have you been saying, Lord, I need this or whatever, and you feel like, you know what? And he says, no, not right now. Hey, be patient with him. It might be just around the corner you get what you need. Maybe he says, wait. Maybe he'll say yes. But whatever it is, are you totally surrendered to him? How's your prayer life this morning? Is it what it should be? Have you been asking for the wants and maybe not the needs? But the Bible says, my God shall supply all my need. That's what the Bible says. But sometimes we say, I want this. I want that. I want this. And the truth of the matter is, it may be what we do not need at this time. Yeah, you surrendered. When was the last time you talked with God? Maybe this morning would be the first time in a little while by coming forward to an altar and say, oh God, oh my Father, I've been separated from you because of, you know what it is. But God, I want that sweet fellowship. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You know, prayer, genuine biblical prayer, is essential for Christian growth. And boy, we need to be talking with him. We need to be surrendered and submitted to our God, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for this message, Lord. The very best that your servant could, I delivered it. Oh God, you could have delivered it. Lord Jesus, you could have delivered it a whole lot better. But I literally gave my heart this morning about prayer, the most difficult prayer of all, Jesus, that you prayed. I pray, God, that maybe it can be kind of a model prayer, perhaps, in our life. A prayer that is necessary for us to pray as well. Not to pray what we want, but what we need. And be surrendered totally to your will. And be submitted to it, for whatever answer you give us. Now, Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless. I don't know where the hearts are today, but Holy Spirit, you do. I pray, God, that maybe there's someone that hasn't talked to you, they're saved, but they haven't talked to you in a long time. whatever has come, there's a wall there, whatever it is. I pray, dear God, that maybe they might make that first time in a long time this morning by coming forward saying, oh, my Father, oh, God, I don't want this separation. I want these blessings that I know you can give me, but I need to surrender to you. Maybe there's someone here, they don't know for sure they're saved. I pray, Lord, that before they leave, you know, there's a separation there already simply because they don't know for sure of their eternal destiny. They don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray that if there's a lost one here today, they don't know for sure they're saved. They will, before they leave, they'll pray that prayer of salvation. Lord, come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sin. I pray, God, that you bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. In just a moment, the music's going to play. I don't know where you are this morning, Christian. Might have been a while since you've talked to God. Why don't you make an altar before your God, this God, the Heavenly Father, this morning. Say, oh, my Father, whatever it is. I don't know where you are spiritually, but maybe you need to go ahead and you need to fall on your face as Jesus did here. He fell on his face and he prayed. Maybe you're here today. You don't know for sure you're saved. You don't know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. I plead with you, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm going to be down, step down off the platform and stand down here. If you're a lady and you come forward and you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I want to be saved. I'll have a lady sit down and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If you're a man, you don't know for sure you're saved. I'll have a man sit down. You just shake my hand. You tell me. And you can become a child of God this morning. I don't know where you are spiritually. But once you decide today, whatever it is, you're going to go ahead and make that first step. I'm not going to go ahead and sit here and be cold anymore. I'm going to make that first step, me to God. Maybe there's something you need to confess. God, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Maybe there's something in your life that's separating you. Whatever it is, the music's going to play. The first note, why don't you just step out this morning? The music's going to play now. Invitation time. Where are you this morning? Music's going to play. Just as I am. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Maybe there's something you need to confess. I don't know. Why don't you decide this morning, you know, I need to surrender. That's where it starts. I'm going to go ahead and surrender. And I'm going to submit my will to God. That's it. Anybody else? Where are you this morning? You're not saved? I'm going to be down on the main floor in just a moment.